Our scripture is from Isaiah 2. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Well, thank you, Jan, so much for leading us in worship, call to worship here and presenting the theme of Advent for us. And, you know, I was thinking as the children were giving the scripture memory and thinking of this, what is the way of God? What does it mean to walk in the way of God's heart, which is the theme of Advent? And I thought that scripture right there just completely nailed it right there. We could just go home. Children, thank you. You just gave the sermon. What is the way? Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God. Amen. Okay, so I'm done now. Just kidding. Well, I love the Advent materials. This season, because I love to walk. I love pilgrimages and trails and adventures. And I love the focus on walking in the way of God and God's heart, which is the embodiment of Jesus. It's a great theme for us this Advent season. And it is hard to believe that we're in Advent. I agree, Jan, just how quickly this has come upon us. But indeed, we are here. But Eileen, thank you for the way that you also introduced the candles here. And this idea of prophet is huge here in this text this morning. Isaiah's words to all of us this morning. And if there's something right in that first line in this text this morning that is so significant, I think, the word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. What's unique there? Typically, I think we would read the word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, heard concerning Judah and Jerusalem. But there's a very intentional word here of saw. There's a image here, a picture of the kingdom that Isaiah is inviting us to see, to walk in, to walk towards. And so I want to start this morning by us trying to see a picture of justice, mercy, kindness that the children this morning read for us. So I would invite you to close your eyes with me and see this image. Don't hear this. Try to picture this picture of the kingdom. Can you see Christian and Muslim women all dressed in white? They're lying on their bellies near the main highway in Monrovia, Liberia. Can you see that picture right now? All of them lying down, where everyone could see them. They're protesting for women's rights. They're protesting against the President Charles Taylor, the tragic civil war that is dividing their country. Can you see this image of Muslims and Christian women together, non-violently working for peace? You may open your eyes. That image right there that we were invited to see was something that Lema Bowie, the 2011 Nobel Peace Prize winner, who was also a graduate of Eastern Mennonite Seminary's Conflict Transformation degree, she led this movement. In the midst of unimaginable civil war in Liberia, where it was often the most vulnerable that were suffering the most, the women and the children. And the women said, they came together and they said, we need to non-violently work for justice here and for peace. And so they came together and they walked together and then they laid down together in the main highway in Monrovia. Can you see that image? That's a beautiful picture of the kingdom. Can you see it? And that's what Isaiah is inviting us to see here in this text this morning. Can you see this picture of the kingdom coming? And if we know anything about Isaiah, we know that so much of it, as what Eileen was saying, is pointing towards this future where it is Jesus the Christ that is this real hope of salvation for the world. So much of Isaiah is pointing towards and looking towards this future that is, it's all about the kingdom of Jesus. And so we also need to really wrestle though with the context going on here in Isaiah. This is not just this perfect picture of utopian peace. The reality is that in chapter 1 in Isaiah, one chapter before, we actually see quite a bit of destruction and violence. Probably some of the same destruction and violence that these same women in Liberia were experiencing. And we see vivid pictures of this in Isaiah. Graphically laid out, indeed. Violence, bribery, unfaithfulness, desolation, trampling on the poor. If you want to read Isaiah 1, I would invite you to do that at some point this week, just to really get the context of how significant a shift this is in Isaiah chapter 2, of a picture of swords being beaten into plowshares. You can't really grasp how significant that image is until you really see the destruction in chapter 1. And then chapter 2 opens as if Isaiah is starting everything over again. Or indeed God is. And what Isaiah sees is not taking place now, but in the days to come, where people from every nation will stream to this mountain, Mount Zion, including those who are even enemies of Israel and Judah. This is a beautiful new image of what is to come. But I think it's important that we see the stuff in chapter 1 as well, because we are in the midst right now, as we begin Advent here in this peaceful place, Whitmer Heights, we cannot forget some of the tragedies happening in our world right now. We need to continue, I think, as a people, to keep remembering them, even if we feel helpless, just to name it in some way, kind of be in solidarity with that. And so I think just as chapter 1 in Isaiah names this brokenness, this violence, this trampling on the poor, we need to also be remembering right now, Benghazi, Aleppo, places where there is unimaginable refugee crises, or maybe the violence in Syria. Can we just try to be in solidarity with them for a little bit right now, in the same way that Isaiah is naming the distress around him? We too can name that. Isaiah isn't naive. This isn't just some picture of, oh, there's just peace now. Isaiah knows the incredible grief around him. This vision of weapons of war turned into agricultural tools. Images of death dealing turned into food producing is not really the reality for Isaiah and Israel at this time. But there is this word of hope, this hope, that the final story in the final chapter in this great story is still a word of hope, even when they can't see it right then. And that's important for us today in this world too, that even in the midst of all of this destruction that just takes us down and down as we read the news, we still have to continue to remember this narrative that we're a part of, this word of hope. Word of hope. And not just to name it, but to be on the journey, on this road towards Jesus, trying to be a sign of this hope. And so this idea of walking in Advent here, I thought about different images of walking and pilgrimage. And I thought maybe each Sunday in Advent here, we could look at a different pilgrimage or a different adventure trail to help us see some parallels for what it might mean to walk with God and walk in the way of God's heart. And so I would invite Todd, if you have this morning I wanted to talk a little bit about the Camino, El Camino de Santiago, the way of St. James. This is a very popular pilgrimage. In fact, it's one of the most important Christian pilgrimages during the Middle Ages. As Christians often would go to Rome or Jerusalem, this would also be a very popular one as they would walk in the way of St. James. There's some couple things about this pilgrimage that really fascinate me. For one, look at the mountains there all around. And I love this idea of mountains, and it's the same thing that we get here as we read these words in Isaiah. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. There's something beautiful in mountains. And it's such an important imagery in the Old Testament of where God dwells. Just take in the picture of the mountains there. Being on the way with God through the mountains. Come, Whitmer Heights, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. Why are these pilgrimages so important to people? Why has it remained significant in 2,000 years of Christian history that people still see something significant in walking with only the things on their back as a part of a spiritual formation and experience? Well, I think it's because they're experiencing God and they're learning more about what it means to be a part of what God is doing as they walk through the mountains. It gets them away from all of the busyness and all of the technology and everything else that tries to take us away from God. This is a pilgrimage of experiencing God anew. Can you go to the next picture? I love this picture here of a guy just looking out. And I imagine this right near the beginning of the pilgrimage and thinking, well, for the next month, this is all I got. Here we go. And at this point in the beginning, you don't know everything that's going to be ahead of you. You know, you have some maps, you've heard stories, but at the end of the day, a lot of it is a little bit unknown. You don't know the different adventures you're going to have every day, when it's going to rain, when you're going to have a bad thunderstorm. And how true is of that is on our own way, as we walk with God. Some of it's unknown. And let's just name right now that some of us here are walking, literally walking journeys that are unknown. Whether that be a health sickness or maybe a financial question of how something's going to get paid. Maybe a family relationship that feels unknown as to how reconciliation will happen. Some of our journeys with God remain vulnerable in that it's somewhat out of our control. And so this picture reminds us of the unknown journey, and yet God is still there. God is still with us as we walk in the way of God. Next picture. I love this picture because the thing that's unique about the Camino de Santiago is that there is one central end point, which is Santiago de Compostela. That's where everybody ends. But what's so unique about this pilgrimage is that the starting points, there's thousands of them. Many people say the Camino de Santiago starts in your home. And then you find a trail to get there. And of course, then over time, there was four or five different journeys that became very popular. But what I like about this is that for some reason, when I see this picture, I see a centered set gospel. I see a centered set gospel. And so Santiago de Compostela is the center of the gospel. It's Jesus at the center. And all of us are on our own journeys, and not one of them is going to look the exact same as the other. And yet all of us are coming towards the center, just as all of them on their pilgrimage are coming towards Santiago de Compostela. And the reason that that's where they pilgrimage to is because they believe that this is where St. James was buried. But there's not one, only just one way to go. Yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the way. But all of us are on our ups and downs, journeys. Some of us have been following Jesus for maybe a month. And others, you were born into this faith. It's been all that you've known. And yet we're still figuring out together what this way looks like. And then the last one, Todd. As we're figuring out on the way, how to get there, how to get to the center. We have these markers to help us get there. And that's what this seashell, as you walk on the way towards Santiago de Compostela, there is these markers to help you point to the direction of how to get there. And all of us need markers on the way. We need signs of how to get there. And if you remember 2 weeks ago, I talked about the church being a sign of the kingdom. My hope would be that as we're on the way this Advent season, on the way with God, in the way of God's heart, that each of us could in some small way be a sign to help our brother and sister, our neighbor. That each of us in a small way could help to be a sign pointing towards the center, Jesus. We need signs. We need help along the way. This is a journey that's too hard to do alone. And so, Whitmer Heights, this morning we have a word from Isaiah to help us move towards the center. Move towards God's heart. And if you remember 2 years ago at Whitmer Heights Church Retreat, Robert and Audrey Carnegie encouraged us of this centered set gospel. And I think as we're on the way, we keep looking towards the center. What does that mean? it means that we keep preaching Jesus. It means we keep inviting people to a life transformation with Jesus. It means inviting people to know the grace of Jesus, the peace of Jesus, the justice of Jesus, the anti-racism, the anti-bullying of Jesus. We're on the way towards this center with Jesus. And there's going to be a need for vulnerability along the way. But the significant thing about the centered set gospel is that it's not about, well, you haven't gotten to this point yet, so you're out. Or I'm here, I'm in, and you're here and you're out. But this centered set, people are all over the place on their own way towards Jesus, but it's not so much about how farther ahead is one person than the other, but it's about which direction are we looking? Which direction are we looking? Are we looking towards Jesus on the way? It's the same thing in the Camino de Santiago. It's not about, is someone about to finish and is someone 2,000 miles away still, but it's about, are you looking towards getting to the end? And I love, and I want to close with this. It's a theologian. His name is Parker Palmer. And he uses this description of what it means to be a part of the kingdom, where Jesus is the center of our faith. Community is the center of our work. And reconciliation, community is the center of our life, and reconciliation is the center of our work. As we're on the way this Advent season, let's make Jesus the center of our faith, community the center of our life, and reconciliation the center of our work. Amen.